Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. I'm going to read 6 and 7. I'm just going to do the first part of verse 6 today. For the whole... if you want all the good news, we appreciate you who are not usually here with us today. You'll have to come back next at least 3 weeks probably to get the whole story. Philippians 4, verse 6. I will read it all through verse 7, but again, the first part of verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, it's too good, really. I mean, we don't want to think about the subject matter so much that's addressed here, except, Lord, we do like the fact that the peace of God is the result. And, Lord, may we be eager for that and not give up on it. But, Lord, in doing the things that these verses say, have this peace from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There are things in our lives that we consider to be off limits. I don't like to hear people say, have you lost more hair? No. It's not just personal things, but meddlesome things. My mom used to ask me, and you're going to be shocked by this. It wasn't even a Saturday. And she would say to me, have you bathed? And it was not a weekday, you know. Well, if men, you can answer this question. If your wife says, does this dress make me look fat? You say, maybe a bit too thin. Certainly not fat. Because that's meddlesome. I don't like to go to the restaurant and open the menu and look at what I want and see how many calories it is. 8,527 calories. I'm like, wait a minute. Just leave it off. I've told restaurants, leave this stuff off. Of course, if they put them on, they put them on. So today's passage may produce the most undesirable topic of all. I mean, it's one thing, you know, have you gained weight? Oh, shut up. But do you worry? Oh, let's talk about my weight now, you say. Do you worry? Because this passage says don't be anxious for nothing. Remember, this is a new focus on rejoicing in the Lord. In verse 1 of chapter 3, it was rejoice in the Lord. And in chapter 4, verse 4, it's rejoice in the Lord with always and a repeat. In the first instance, the in the Lord is the focus. That our rejoicing, our lives, are to be within the confines of the Lord. We're not to wander from the Lord. We're not going to adopt another philosophy, the world's philosophy, or another God or another religion other than the Lord. And that's the first thing. It's like you play in the yard. Your parent says, go play in the yard. Well, part of that is in the yard, not in the road, in the yard. So this first one in chapter 3, verse 1 is the scope, in the Lord. That's where you play. The second one is the rejoice part. What we do in the Lord, we do in the Lord in chapter 3 and up in the beginning of chapter 4. But then after this, it's rejoice in the Lord. What we do, play in the yard. I've been blessed in my life. We had yards to play in. Had a side yard, a front yard, a little bit of a backyard at home. My grandmother had a side yard, backyard, and front yard. It's a great thing. And you can play. Kids, I think, need to be taught some now how to play outside. But, you know, we had a yard to play in. That was great. So you play in the yard, and you play in the yard. And so our Lord does not just deal with our sins and our lack of righteousness. You know, when we come to the Lord in true faith, we, by faith, lay our hands on Christ, our sacrifice. Our sins are transferred to Him, and He pays for them by His death. His righteousness transfers to us, so that we live in righteousness by faith in Christ. Therefore, when God sees us, He sees Christ in us, and we are righteous and forgiven and able to go to heaven. But He doesn't just give us that. He gives us a new heart and a new mind. He gives us the ability to rejoice in Him. He gives us an abundant, rich, full life and the capacity to do it. My dad did not just tell me, go play golf. He told me, go play golf, and here's a set of clubs. So the Lord gives all of that. The Lord gives us the ability, the means to rejoice in Him. And He wants us to rejoice. And how bad of a command is that? And beyond just, you know, the abundant life that He provides, He says, listen, my will for you as my child is to go out and have an abundant life. If my grandmother made a greasy pork chop, and that's, by the way, all she ever made, and she said, go eat that greasy pork chop, what do I say? Oh, my. I eat it in the next one, too. There's nothing wrong with a command like that. This is great. Last week, we examined the first trait of rejoicing in the Lord, which is gentleness. That's a gift from God. That's one of the fruit of the Spirit. To be able to rest in the Lord, to be able to rejoice in the Lord by being at rest. There's no rest to the wicked, the Bible tells us. And the world races at a breakneck speed to find meaning. Oh, I've got to find meaning. I've got to find purpose. I need peace. And it's not to be found. One thing my mom taught me how to play growing up was the quiet game. Did she ever tell you that one? Let's play the quiet game. We said, how do you play that? Be quiet. Don't make noise. I'm on to that now. But then I was thinking, wow. But she wanted some peace. The gift of God brings us rest so that we act in gentleness and calmness of spirit. We're not looking for the meaning of life. We found it in Christ. So, and Cindy's already mentioned, we're going to go to meddling now. Let me ask you this question. What has anxiety done for you lately? You get up and it's a nice sunny day. I sure hope I have something to worry about today. I sure hope I'm distressed today with worry. Most everyone agrees that worry is not a fruitful endeavor. If there's a hole in your boat and you're on the lake, trying to get the water out is not going to do a whole lot of good. And so a lot of people are going, you know, why even bother with this? There's nothing I can do. And we also know that worrying can't affect what we worry about. There are times if you're working on something, you say, well, I need one more arm. I don't have enough arms. I got to hold this here and here, and I need something to steady it with another arm. And so how many times have you worried about that and then woken up the next morning and you got three arms? They don't ever work. Wish I was taller. Growing up, you want to dunk a basketball. I need to be about 6'7". I worried about that. I woke up the same size, maybe a little smaller. It doesn't work. We all know that. Worry can, however, affect those who worry, and that is a definite. Worry is a means of stewing in our own pot. See those old jungle cartoons we used to watch, and there we are in the jungle, and we're in a pot. And the natives are all around us, and there's a fire under the pot, and we're stewing in our pot. Well, we jump in our own pot when we worry. And we stew. You see a scary movie? When you're growing up, you don't want a scary movie before bedtime. Because what happens? Every creak in the room, Somebody's under the bed, somebody's in the closet, somebody's outside the window about to come in and get in the closet. It's you're hearing everything, you're worried about everything, you're scared about everything. And so it just makes you anxious. And it does no good. Almost every person does not want to worry. And there never was anybody in the closet, and there never was anybody under the bed. It just was felt like that. It was hard to rest. Worry is also called stress, and it affects our body and our mind. Now, let me just tell you what the dictionary says. I've listed on your outline some very, very scary descriptions of stress and worry and anxiety. A state of uneasiness and apprehension as to future uncertainties. Basically means that you don't know what's going to happen the next moment or the next day or the next month. And it affects you with uneasiness and apprehension. Impairment of physical and psychological functioning. You can make a terrible mistake just because you are so worried about it. It drags down our lives, saps the strength from our body, and troubles our mind. It's met with hopelessness, dread, restlessness, and agitation. I learned a new word this week. I knew part of it. But if you worry, you have a problem with your epigastrium. You know what your epigastrium is? It's right there. And when you worry, what happens? Oh, it's like something's wrong there. Pit of your stomach kind of thing. Your epigastrium gets messed up. Now, what's your epigastrium got to do with what's going on in the world? It reacts to your worry. People panic. That oppression or tightness in their stomach. Many mental disorders are associated with anxiety. And anxiety doesn't just stop with us. It affects those in our lives in a negative way. When you were distressed, why did you run to your mother? You're upset. Let's just say you're upset and your brother and your sister are upset. I had a brother and sister. I have a brother and sister. We're all upset. Why don't we run to each other? Because we're all upset. Why do you run to your mother? Because mom is the de-stressor. She takes you in all of your distress. And she says those magic words, which have no meaning literally in the way they're stated. She says, "They're there." And it's all right. "They're there." She calms you. Whatever was after you is not after you anymore. You don't care because mom's got hold of you. Pity those who don't have strong arms and a soothing spirit to run to. Well, let's consider this command to be anxious for nothing. Is it even realistic? I bet 98% of people who hear this in the world will say it's pie in the sky. It can't be done. It's impossible. I've tried not to worry, and I just can't stop worrying. And there are very simple reasons you can't stop worrying. And it primarily has to do with people, places, or things. Your attack on worry cannot be on the things that cause you to be worried, because you'll only fail that way. Most people have accepted worry as a part of life. They've given up on trying not to worry. They've given up on the whole thing. Well, government is part of our lives. But if you think about the government all the time, it's just going to cause you distress and anger. Jesus proclaimed that unbelievers worry as a characteristic of their lives. I mean, he says it in Matthew 6, verse 32, "For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." The difference between a Christian and a non-Christian is we have a heavenly Father. Father being a relationship we have with our Father who knows we have these needs, and so we find our rest and comfort in him. But the believer, we can't be given up on commands, thinking that because out there doesn't change, in here can't change. If I were to ask you, I'm not asking, I'm not meddling, is there anything right now that you're worried about? And you're going, why did you even ask that? Some have a very large weight upon them today because there are so many worries. You wouldn't, if you had to classify them 1 to 10, it'd be hard. They're all tied for first. Everyone would probably say there's at least one thing. Not everybody, but a lot of people would say, well, this is just the one thing. If you just said there was one thing, people would go, wow, I wish I had your life. Well, here's the problem. If we say we got one thing and that's all, and we're feeling pretty good about ourselves in comparison to others, it says in verse 4 or verse 6, be anxious for nothing. Now, I don't know how the new math renders that. The old math is nothing is less than one. And so, be anxious for nothing. Now, it's hard for us to view this in the proper way as a command, because it's so good to be told not to worry. We always hear that, oh, don't worry. And what do we say when people say don't worry? Oh, you don't understand. You do not understand what I'm worried about, or you would not tell me not to worry. Well, here the Lord is telling us not to worry. Does he not understand? And so some believe the Lord is mocking us and commanding us to stop being anxious when there is no way on earth we can. And he's not doing that. The Lord's command here is for us to follow as his people. Now, God gives the law. The law, we're told in Scripture, is intended to be kept. We have to be righteous before God to go to heaven, and the law is the definition of that, but we can't keep the law, but we're required to. But we can't. We can't. So Jesus keeps it for us. So we're forgiven and made righteous by him. And the law leads us to grace by condemning us in our sin. Well, in a similar way, the causes of worry drive us to God. You know that if you think about the things you're worried about, what happens? You forgot to worry about it as much as you were worrying about it. You've got to worry more. Because that's just the nature of it. Whenever I could get off my mind that there was a ghost in the closet in my room, I could go to sleep. As long as I worked that out, the ghost never left. As long as we worry over the things of this life, it never goes away. It stays. So we are defeated. Is it a command that is feasible, that can be kept? Well, what do you think? Absolutely. And what a great God we have that tells us that he does not want our lives to be worrisome and anxious. He wants us to rejoice in him and be at peace. Now, we all have, let's isolate the cause and the solution. We all have valid concerns in our world that are too much to bear. And this happens all day long. There are the most basic concerns, food and covering. Matthew 6:31, do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? Those are the basics of life. Some people are struggling with that. So the very basics of life are a concern. Should a man who has a family just lay back and say, well, I'm not going to get up and go to work. I'm not going to be concerned about any of these things. I'm just going to let the Lord drop food through the attic, right into the house. No, there are concerns in the world. Absolutely. Food covering. That's one. Then there's the cares of this world. Jesus says in Matthew 6:34, so do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Do you agree with that? Each day has enough trouble of its own. You ever get to the end of the day and say, I sure wish I'd had more trouble today? No, it was enough. So every day, the concerns of life are there. You can continue on to your family and loved ones. Paul was recommended to some Christians to stay single in 1 Corinthians 7 for this purpose. He says, 1 Corinthians 7:32, but I want you to be free from concern. One who is unmarried is concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. And his interests are divided. The woman who is unmarried and the virgin is concerned about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and spirit. But the one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. We see there's nothing wrong with marriage there. Most people's, for the will of God, is for them to be married. But that brings concerns. And of course you have concern. Happy Mother's Day. I'm not really concerned about you. Of course you're concerned. Children, go on out and stay out as long as you want. I'm not concerned. Of course you're concerned. You've got to be concerned. But that's not the same as worry. Your work. Does your job ever give you worries? Does your work and income ever give you worries? How about even the weather? We've been on a 10-year countdown for 150 years until the end of the world. And if you look in the paper today and find out the latest person to predict the end of the world, it's just 5 to 10 years, maybe 15. It's been going on forever. People are distressed. People worried about tornadoes and hurricanes. You got to prepare for those things. World powers are a constant source of concern. Proverbs 28:15, like a roaring lion and a rushing bear is a wicked ruler over a poor people. Yeah. When I was getting blood tests last week before last now, they said I need to go to these other tests that I did, these ultrasound things. And I said, when will it be? And they said, I don't know, the insurance has to approve it. I said, well, the insurance only cares about my good health. And they laughed because I was kidding. And they knew it because no insurance company cares about my good health. I don't think the powers that be generally care about anybody but themselves. So you got that. People are worried every day. What's the government going to do? Oh, get out of that. You see, these are the valid concerns that press down upon us. This is not an unreal command. This is a command while we live in the middle of these things. So why people give up trying to stop worry is very simple. Because they try and fail. And mostly it's because the things they're worried about don't go away. I've told you, we took some, my grandmother's little, there's a little wall out there that we jumped off with some cardboard taped to our arms when we were kids. Because you know why? We were going to fly. And so we did that for, 5, 10, 15 minutes. And we quit. Because you know what happened every time we jumped off that little wall and started to fly? The same thing that happened when we didn't have the cardboard on our arms. It just went right down. It didn't work. So failure to get rid of the things that are causing worry makes us stop. There's also human frailty. We're weak. We fuss at ourselves. Oh, it's so weak. I shouldn't be worried about this. And things don't go away. One absolute 100% cure for worry is do this when we get home. Go into a quiet room and focus on all the things that cause you to worry and go, be gone. And then they all go away. Is that going to happen? If your car runs out of gas, oh no. Gas in the car. Does that happen? No. But we don't have the power to do that. Things don't go away. Things do not change. People don't change. Situations don't just magically go and improve. We're not sovereign. We're not powerful. God can wink things out of existence. We have to live in them. We can't make them go away. And it's interesting in this passage. Let me read it through again. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Did you see anywhere in there where the thing that you were worried about goes away? You know something that causes people worry through time? It's the moon. The moon gets big, and there it is. It looks like it's right on top of us. It's going to fall on us. People said, oh, it's going to fall on us. So they're worried about the moon. It's not going anywhere. It's always going to be there. You can't get rid of the moon. You got to get your mind right about it. There's not one mention of any circumstance changing. There's not even a mention here of whatever you're praying about that God will answer that. Or people getting better around you. People acting better. Or the nation getting better. Or the government being better. Or your money being better. There's nothing about a new infusion of human power. Where you pray that, Lord, I don't want to worry. Take this worry from me. You're out in the woods. You notice something sticking out of the ground. And it turns into a superhero's suit. And now you've got power. None of that. There's not a list of things in this verse that says, well, if you're worried about family, do this. If you're worried about your job, do this. If you're worried about your health, do this. It's all the same. The thing that's causing you to worry is not even mentioned. It's not even part of the answer. Well, yeah, but I got a lot of worries. Nothing is ever said about that. For you to not worry does not require any change in your life. Outside. The key is, as you saw there, and we'll go into it, Lord willing, in the next weeks, that the Lord gives you peace. Now, we are pretty weak about these things. Now, some people have an inclination to worry. Others have an inclination not to worry. I'm classically an inclination not to worry person. You can ask my family and friends. I generally don't have the inclination. But I'll admit this, and you cannot tell anybody this. I'll be very upset with every one of you. Even if you didn't do it, I'll be upset with every one of you. When I was told by my doctor that there was a speck on my lung that they wanted to re-examine, I had a moment there where I said, you know, I don't smoke. Surely I don't have any lung cancer. And it turned out it was fine. But until I got the result, I wondered about that. Even me, a non-tending to worry person. So you can imagine what people who tend to worry go through every day. This is for everybody, all of us. Even those who worry about something to worry about. This is the peace of God that comes to stop this. This is great. If you give up on the command, you give up on the blessing, you give up on the peace, you give up on the work of God. And again, most people are discouraged because they keep thinking about that thing, that person, that event that makes them worry. You'll never stop worrying if you focus on that, because you can't banish that away. This is a good command. If Cindy said to me, and probably she'll say this to me on Father's Day, go out and get a red Dodge Charger with a big gas engine, what am I going to do? Oh, you hate me, don't you? I'm going right up there and getting one before she decides that I'm not going to have that to do. Go get you a Dodge Charger, red Dodge Charger. Yeah, it looks mean just sitting in the driveway. Okay, I'll do that. The Lord says this in John 14. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Why? Because my peace I give to you. Peace I leave with you. Can you deal with that? Oh, Lord, why are you telling me not to worry? You're just making fun of me. No. He's telling you how to do it. As a Christian, we have the fruit of the Spirit. As a Christian, we have a Heavenly Father. As a Christian, we have peace with God. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. The world gives you peace that is temporary. Circumstances change. You got to worry again. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. That's, to me, similar to being told to go get a Dodge Charger. That's good news. If you want to overcome worry, the Lord is the only provider of peace. Now, don't try it without the Lord. If you're a citizen only of the world, then you're suffering the consequences of that by being alienated from God. But as our Father in heaven has given us peace, and our Lord Jesus has given us peace, and let's that be our life. And don't give up on that good command. Let's pray. Well, we often think of growing up of gods, and we're told of things that having a God means we don't have as much joy. The Lord doesn't want us to have happiness and pleasure and things that He's created for us to enjoy. It's just not true, Lord. Our life is enriched by following you. Our life is enriched by not worrying. And it's possible with you, and Lord. And in a practical sense, maybe this will be the command that shows the most power of God in our lives. That this incessant temptation to worry would be removed, and we would instead have your peace. We pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen.